Welcome to the God and Your Business podcast. I'm Dr. Una, your host, the Jesus lover and serial entrepreneur. Each week, we will unlock timeless secrets for business success from the Bible. Regardless of your faith, I invite you to join me on this journey with the only thing you'll need, a healthy dose of curiosity. And now for the episode. Well, hello, hello, my friends. Welcome back to another episode of the God and Your Business podcast. And I am super excited. I'm going to have one of these philosophical conversations with you today, and I'd love to hear your thoughts about it. So this is one of those, you can PM me. I am Neka Una Chukwu on Facebook, and tell me your thoughts about this episode, okay? And I was just thinking about it, like, how spiritual does an entrepreneur need to be? I ask this because when I was growing up, and I'm not saying anybody gave me this philosophy, but I kind of thought of things in terms of there are the people who are the pastors, who are the ministers, and they had to be really spiritual and pray a lot and study the word and all of that. And then there were other people who were entrepreneurs who just needed to, their contribution to the kingdom was really, you know, they come to church, they listen to the word, and then they support the kingdom financially. But in the last few weeks and months, I have been thinking a lot about the fact that we are surrounded by so much information that a lot of our thinking is shaped by the information we have access to and not really what God says, right? Like when we think about how church should function, we think about it based on churches we've seen. We think about it based on things we've seen on Facebook. But how many times have we gone to the Bible to actually see what does God say about how churches should function, right? And so I've started paying a lot more attention to what does God say, understanding that my upbringing, the society I'm in, the environment I'm in, all of these things shape my thinking. Right. And so I need to make sure I can put it up and, you know, line it up with the word and say, does this add up? Like, am I in alignment? Okay. So this is a deal. All right. I'm going to read a scripture that I read and I was like, wait a minute. Okay. So just go with me. So whole story. So this is Acts chapter 6, and I'm reading verse 1 to verse 8. And I'm going to do this in the New Living Translation. Okay. So it says, but as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. Okay? So the issue here is they were growing a lot and people felt there was discrimination with the distribution of food. So verse 2, so the 12 called a meeting of all the believers. They said, we apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God. All right. Some translations say prayer and the ministry of the word. Okay. So that we should be spending our time praying, teaching the word, not running a food program. So again, this was about a food program. Okay. All right. And verse 3. And so, brothers, select 7 men who are well respected and are full of the Spirit and wisdom, then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word. Everyone liked this idea, and they chose the following: Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas of Antioch, an earlier convert to the Jewish faith. These 7 were presented to the apostles, who prayed for them as they laid their hands on them. So God's message continued to spread. The numbers of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too. Verse 8, Stephen, who was one of the 7, a man full of God's grace and power, performed amazing miracles and signs among the people. So they decided, we want a food program. So I want you to think about, maybe think about your local church. There's a food program, okay? So maybe every Sunday they're feeding people and they're like, who can run the food program? Now, when you think about a food program, for me, I don't think of it as a very spiritual thing, right? It's not like maybe, you know, the pastor preaching, that's very spiritual. He needs the anointing and all of that. The worship leaders, you know, they're leading the, you know, leading the church in worship and they need the anointing. I couldn't even argue that the people who are ushers, because they need to be sensitive where they sit people and all of those things. So maybe they need the anointing. But when I think about somebody sharing food, I'm not thinking they need them. Okay. When I think about the entrepreneur who just came to church, like I'm different now. So back in the day, I wouldn't think that. Okay. But I want you to think about in the church, the early church, this was the qualification to share food. Please hear me. They were like, we want people to share food. These are the kinds of people we want you to pick. Okay. So if we go back to verse 3, it says, and so, brothers, select 7 men who are well respected. And so if you look at different translations, I think it's the Amplified that talks about sound moral character. Sound moral character for somebody who's going to share food. Sound moral character. Okay. Okay. Sound moral character and full of the Spirit and full of wisdom. Why does someone need to be full of the Spirit to share food? Like that was the requirement, full of the Spirit, full of wisdom. And if you look at verse 8, Stephen was performing miracles. I'm like, so what happened? Did a cripple come to get food? And then Stephen's like, while you're here, let's take care of your legs. Like what happened? Right? So my question is, if that was the standard, if there was an entrepreneur there, somebody who, especially an entrepreneur who understood that part of my job is to aggressively fund the kingdom agenda, right? Would their requirement be less? No. No. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is I'm a physician, okay? So if I'm taking an anatomy exam, I'm going to be tested on what is in my anatomy textbook. And the textbook of life is the Bible. And what we're going to be judged by, when I say judge, is not a bad word. It's like you're going to take a test. My test is going to be on that. They're going to measure my life with the standards there, right? With the expectations there. And so if I know that, then it's time to start making adjustments. It's time to look at the book. Like, what does my textbook actually say? In the early church, the requirement for someone who is going to share food is a sound moral character, full of the Spirit, full of wisdom. And if that's the case, then that's probably the bare minimum for anybody serving in any capacity. And if you're an entrepreneur, you are serving in the kingdom of God. Right? So I was like, well, maybe, maybe not, right? But think about it. David was a king. David was a king. He was a king, but he was full of wisdom. He had a solid relationship with God. He wrote the book of Psalms with 150 chapters, the longest book in the Bible. He wrote that. There are places to talk, 7 times will I go to your temple. A king, 7 times. So he didn't quite meet this qualification in the sense that he couldn't be filled with the Spirit and things like that. But do you see how he was not a king who didn't have a relationship with God? He was not a king who was not a priest. He was a king and a priest, if you will, right? Think about Joseph. Joseph, he was serving in Potiphar's house, his master's house. He served in the prisons. He did all these things. But he had worked his anointing so well that he could interpret dreams. He worked it, right? Even his administration, I don't think it was just natural. I think there was a supernatural angle to it, because when he was done explaining, like, well, Pharaoh, we have this problem coming. We're going to have 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of a famine. We have a big problem and the famine is going to be so bad, such as the world has never seen. He said, but this is what you should do. And they said, wow, who else has the wisdom of the gods? That's what Pharaoh said. And so he was not quite an entrepreneur, but he worked what you call a secular job. But his foundation in God was so rich. So rich. Think about Daniel. Daniel was an administrator. He was not a politician, but he was in government. He was a government official where he could interpret dreams. He saw all the way to the time of Christ. So I'm saying all of that to say that we've been deceived, that there are some people who are supposed to be deeply spiritual and anointed and all of that, and we're not. We've been deceived. We are called to build deep roots in God. And if I can borrow from Acts chapter 6, I would say that the expectation for the food sharers, that is our minimum. Moral excellence, full of the Spirit, full of wisdom. And which means we're people who spend time in prayer, we're people who spend time in the Word, we're people who practice obedience to the Word, right? We don't do, I know the Word said it, but we're people who practice that. And if you look at the examples I gave, you have Stephen performing miracles, you have David, who is one of the greatest kings of all time, you have Joseph, who went from bondage to second in command in a whole nation. Daniel, who was in a foreign nation and was in government for four administrations, in leadership for four administrations. This will take you nowhere but the top. But we also pay the price that others have to pay. The price for the anointing, the price to have a solid relationship with God, the price of obedience. We're not exempt from it, okay? But the thing is, if we embrace it, the things that we've been sensing about our businesses, how big we can build them, how much of an impact we can have in the world, the level of transformation we can bring to our communities, the impacts we can have in the kingdom of God, this is the pathway to that. This is the pathway to that. And so I read that and I started owning this to dig even deeper. And I'm sharing it so you can own it and you can dig even deeper. You're not called to be on the outside. You're not called to just be a giver. That what you're to have the impact you're dreaming of having, you need the training too. And so if you're a physician in the army and you're really, really just going to be taking care of people, you still go to boot camp. Okay. And so this is like Kingdom Boot Camp. We all go to boot camp, but the way we show up, the way we serve, the way God uses us is all different, but we all go to boot camp. And building a relationship with God, praying, studying the Word, praying for the anointing for your specific area, obeying the Word, all of that is all part of boot camp. We all go to boot camp, okay? I invite you to make that commitment. I invite you to go all in on this, and I cannot wait to see what God does with you, what he does with your business, how you become an answer in society, because God is looking for answers, people who are solution carriers in society, who have a big impact in his name. And I can't wait to see what he does with you in your business. Okay. All right. So sign up for boot camp and share this with another kingdom entrepreneur in your life. And I'll see you on the next episode of the God in Your Business podcast.
You've been listening to the God in Your Business podcast. If anything you've ever heard on this podcast has helped you, please head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. It really helps us get the word out. Thank you so much. And remember, you are not alone in business. You're doing business with God, the smartest being in the universe. See you next week.